Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Five Tools Show. I am your host, Tanya Mercado. Sorry for the little delay. Apparently, Blog Talk Radio is having a little bit of a problem, but I managed to get on just in time. So, baseball, spring training, everybody's excited. Everybody's talking baseball right now. Everybody's super pumped about the new season. I mean, who isn't super pumped? Anytime a new season starts, doesn't matter where your team finished last year, you're just excited over the fact that baseball's back. So last week, as you all know, we had a few guests. We had Rich Mancuso, who talked New York Mets. We also had Nick from the Cult of Mets Personalities, which was awesome. It was all Mets for the most part. And we also had Lisa Swan to talk Yankees baseball. Tonight, on tap, Rich Mancuso will be placing a call. He is in Port St. Lucie right now, currently in his hotel room, typing up an article. We're also going to have author and Brave Banter host, Dan Schlossberg. He's going to talk Braves. What will their record be? Braves lock up their top talent, which I think is something that any general manager should be focusing on. I mean, in all honesty, let's be realistic. I mean, if you have talent, it came from your farm system, why wouldn't you go out of your way to bring those players on board? One of the things that I love to hear was, hey, if it was Boris's clients, this never would have gotten done. And I mean, you know what? Most general managers in baseball probably feel that way. In all honesty, I hate Scott Boris. I mean, this guy is bad for baseball. Okay, yeah, he's looking out trying to get his clients some money and everything, but come on. Some of the things he expects for some of his clients is outrageous. Completely outrageous. There's no way I would even negotiate with a Scott Boras client. Why? Because, I mean, let's be realistic. He overhypes some of the guys that he represents. You don't know what you're going to get from that player. You can't even talk to Scott Boras. Sometimes I would just go to the player and be like, hey, look, this is what I'm offering. You know, you can either take it or see if your guy can get you what he wants to get for you, not necessarily what you're asking for. Scott Boras, he's all about the money. He's all about greed. He doesn't give a flying crap about baseball as far as I'm concerned, because if he did, he would do what's right and wouldn't be asking for the sun, moon, stars, and planet Saturn. That's just my opinion, for whatever it's worth. You know, look at the Mets. They ended up with Carlos Beltran, and how long was he able to stay healthy for? You know, everybody can say, well, nobody saw that coming. Yeah, well, he was willing to go to the Yankees for a discount. Then why the hell are you going to sign a guy for more money than when he was willing to take less money to go to another team? Not exactly the smartest move on God's green earth, but okay. No point on dwelling it anymore. And let me get something else off my chest while I'm at it. To all the New York Mets fans over there, get over the whole Carlos Beltran thing. And I'm not talking about the whole 2006 situation. Okay, what I'm talking about is he's in a Yankee uniform. Get over it. You don't want to wear his jersey anymore? Don't. It's not like he's on the team anymore. So you choose what you want to do, but get off his back. Okay, it's not like the Mets offered him anything. Even if he did, he didn't want to come to the Mets in the first place. He wanted to be a Yankee. So if he wants to finish his career with the Yankees, more power to him. It's not like he's going to get that ring with them. Let him do what he wants. It's his life. Again, my opinion, my two cents, take it however way you want it. I just, after a while, I get tired of hearing people complain. Speaking of complaints, yes, it's going to be a tangent tonight. By the way, if you do want to call in, the number is 347-637-2306. By all means, feel free to give a call, 347-637-2306. I will be here for, say, half an hour, 45 minutes. You guys want me on longer? We'll talk a lot longer. Whatever you guys want. Again, the number is 347-637-2306. Feel free to call in to talk to the upcoming guests as well. Blocking the plate, that just came into, the official rule came down today. I hate this whole blocking the plate rule. What is the big freaking deal? Who cares? It's part of the game. Why are we constantly trying to change the game of baseball? It's been fine since the beginning. Why are we changing it? Yeah, great. Concussions? Hey, I understand it, okay? I mean, for crying out loud. I see some of these guys getting hurt, and I honestly cringe. I see a guy who hits the deck because he got hit in the head with a baseball. I see another guy, he gets hit by another player in a plate collision. Next thing you know, the catch is out. He's just staring up into the blue yonder because he got knocked out of his mind. I get it. You want to protect the players. But at the same time, there's only so much you can do to protect them. You know, if they're so worried about how they're going to be handled, then maybe they shouldn't be a catcher. Wow. There is a stroke of genius right there. These guys are catchers. They know what they're getting themselves in for. Hell, football players know what they're getting into when they play football. They know that there's a chance that they're going to get a concussion. I mean, and those guys hit the deck, like, full force. I mean, it's crazy. Listen, if I was a football player, and if somebody tackled me, that's it. I'd be done. I'd be dead. I understand trying to protect the players, but there is only so much that you can do to protect those players. Everybody's complaining. Everybody hates the new rules. At this point, tween and toddler beauty pageants are going to be more dangerous than a plate collision. So what are we supposed to do? If a player's coming down third and he knows that catcher has that ball in his glove and he's going to hit him hard, what is he supposed to do? Tiptoe? Why don't we just take a bunch of pillows and wrap the catchers in them? Just my opinion, for whatever it's worth. I'm sick and tired of all these different rules coming out all of a sudden in baseball. Well, we got to do this and we got to do that. The latest blocking the plate. You can't block the plate unless you actually have the ball in your hand. Well, hello, his job is to block the plate. That's his job. That's what he's getting paid for. Yeah, these catchers are getting paid millions to what, half-ass their job? Kidding me right now? There are more cat fights and injuries in these little toddler beauty pageants. Have you seen these things? Go ahead, turn on TV. What is it, Lifetime? TLC? I don't know, one of these channels that has those little toddler beauty pageants on. Have you seen those mothers go at it? You got the little girls that they're just looking around like, I don't understand what's going on, but my mom decided to just doll me up. Why don't we do that with the catchers now? Because apparently, in the game of baseball, now we're acting more like ladies than they are grown men. What, you can't handle the fact that you got knocked around a few times? A little few bumps and bruises here and there? Guess what? You shouldn't have played the game. You got guys who once played football, maybe in college or in high school, now they're baseball players. They know what they're getting themselves into. I can't deal with it. A runner may not run out of a direct line to the plate in order to initiate contact with a catcher or any player covering the plate. If he does, the umpire can call him out, even if the player taking the throw loses possession of the ball. The catcher may not block the pathway of a runner attempting to score unless he has possession of the ball. If the catcher blocks the runner before he has the ball, the umpire may call the runner safe. Now, if I was a catcher, I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of yelling and screaming between catchers and umpires this year. All calls will be based on the umpire's judgment. The umpire will consider such factors as whether the runner made an effort to touch the plate and whether he lowered his shoulder or used his hands, elbows, or arms when approaching the catcher. Oh, I tapped you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to get to that little white plate right there, just to, like, maybe I could just tap it with my toe. Would you like some toe shoes? Why don't we dance a dance pirouette while we're at it? Can't use your hands, elbows, or arms. Are you serious? Runners are not required to slide, and catchers in possession of the ball are allowed to block the plate. However, runners who do slide and catchers who provide the runner with a lane will never be found in violation of the rule. Bandit instant replay rules, which also go into effect this season, will be available to review potential violations of Rule 7.13. Expanded instant replay. Can I tell you how wrong instant replay is in baseball? This is not football. I hate instant replay. I really, really do. I understand, yeah, a guy hits maybe a home run, all of a sudden, hey, that was a foul. What? That's a freaking home run? Are you kidding me? Maybe you should have your eyes examined. I get it. Been there, seen a lot of players get robbed, but at the same time, the game is long enough. You have people complaining all the time how long this doggone game is. Listen, I love baseball as much as the next person, but I can only sit there for so many hours. So let's have instant replay. Let's just lengthen it even more. Because it's not like anybody has to get up in the morning to get to work the next day. Because it's not like we're making millions of dollars. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but if I have a family and I got to get to work the next day, I can only stay up so late, especially if the game is being played in California. I live on the East Coast, for heaven's sake. Again, my opinion, take it for what it's worth. Nelson Cruz signed with the Orioles 1 year, $8 million. This dumbass could have had a $14.1 million contract with the Texas Rangers. And he took $8 million with the bloody Orioles. I got no problem with that. Mets fans are in an uproar. Oh, the Mets could have had him for $8 million. You don't know that. And why would you even want him anyway? His defensive numbers aren't that great. I'm sorry. Did you forget how big City Field is? Nelson Cruz is not an outfielder. He is a DH. He belongs in the American League as a DH player. Or hell, you don't care about his defense? Let him go play for the Phillies. Let him go play in a bandbox. That's the only way that he'll be able to make it in the National League. And he has no business at City Field. I'm not upset that he's not here. It's like the whole Stephen Drew thing. I don't care. The Atlanta Braves are going in the right direction. Why? Because they're locking up their young guys. That's exactly what you want to do. You got the young guys, work with them. That's the whole point of the minor leagues, isn't it? To work with the talent that you got so that they can come up and actually do something. I mean, if I'm wrong, please, by all means, call in and let me know. I'm here for like the next half hour to an hour. So if you want, give me a call, 347-637-2306. Now, we do have a couple of callers in the queue. I believe Dan is on the line right now. I'm going to bring him in. We're going to talk a little Braves baseball right now. Mets fans, relax, breathe. We got to talk Braves, too. We spoke Yankees last year. This is an all-baseball talk show. This is not just a Mets talk show. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the Five Tools Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you for joining me tonight.
My pleasure.
So what's going on? What have you been working on lately?
Well, USA Today Sports Weekly is coming out with a special issue commemorating the 40th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record. And that I've just finished three articles for that. A first-person piece by Darrell Evans. I interviewed Darrell and put his words together. First-person piece by Milo Hamilton, who made that famous call. And also an article called 25 Things You Didn't Know About Hank Aaron.
Nice. That sounds like an awesome articles. I love the last one, though. I would love to read that one.
Oh, it was a lot of fun to put it together. It really was. And, of course, I'm going down to Braves spring training a week from today.
I am so jealous. You get to go to beautiful Florida. And isn't it like in Kissimmee where theirs is?
I'm sorry? I didn't catch that.
Isn't it like Lake Buena Vista, like near the Disney property? That's where they
yeah,
are?
Yeah, oh, sure. It's actually on the Disney property itself. It's very, very cool. It's right down the road from Epcot, actually.
I am so jealous. If you get any Disney time, tell Mickey that I said hello, please.
Okay. It's really funny. You know, the Braves have been there almost 20 years now, and when you talk to anybody who's been with your organization a while, they say they're all Mickey Moused out.
Really? I can never see that happening to me.
Well, their kids like it, their wives like it, but that's about it. The ballpark,
well,
you know, they'd rather go play golf or go to the pool or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the Atlanta Braves seem to be going in the right direction right now. Unlike the Philadelphia Phillies, the Braves are getting younger, which is kind of the same thing that the Mets are doing. But the Braves seem to be doing it a little bit better because they're actually locking up their talent for a really long time. They're not waiting for them to hit free agency.
Good idea. Very good idea. Plus, the key is those guys are good. I mean, they've got the best shortstop in the major leagues, Andrelton Simmons. They've probably got the best first baseman in the National League in Freddie Freeman. And they've got the best closer in baseball in Craig Kimbrell. So right there, I mean, those guys, that's the nucleus of the team.
Okay, so with all of this amazing talent that the Braves have, please explain to me why some people are expecting the Nationals to win it.
Well, because they saw the Nationals got a trade with Detroit where they got Doug Fister. And it was a very one-sided trade. The Nationals gave up Bupkis to get him. However, people forget that Brandon Beachy had the best ERA in the National League when he was injured a couple of years ago. He's back with the Braves. He's 100% healthy. He's going to win a lot more games for the Braves than Doug Fister is going to win for the Nationals. And there are a lot more reasons why the Braves will probably finish first by more than 10 games this year. Two guys whose names start with U, for example, Ugla and B.J. Upton, those guys are not going to hit under the Mendoza line again. It was a fluke last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if those guys hit at all, the Braves are going to be great. Jason Hayward missed 2 months last year. He had an appendectomy early in the year, and then he got hit in the face by John Neese and broke his jaw, and he missed most of the end of the year. If he's healthy all year, he's a gold glover. He might hit 30 home runs. But you know what the key is? You know what the key is, Ken? The whole key here is the catching situation, because Brian McCann was awful in the postseason last year. He did not get a single hit against the Dodgers in the NLDS. He struck out 4 times in the last game. He batted 170 in September. The Braves were glad that he left and signed with the Yankees because Evan Gattis is a better defensive catcher and is going to hit more home runs. So they're better off than they were last year.
Okay. Where do you think that the Braves, what do you think their record is going to be for this year in comparison to last year?
I predicted last year they would win 100 games. They had a lot of injury issues. They lost O'Flaherty. They lost Venters. They lost Hayward for 2 months. This year, I don't think they'll have as many injuries. I think BJ, having been in the league for a year, will be better. I think Ugla will be better. I think the Braves are going to win 100 games, most in baseball.
Do you think anything else could have been done to better this team, or do you think the team is perfect as is, the trading deadline, they don't have to worry about the trade deadline or anything like that?
It's not perfect. They strike out an awful lot. They also hit more home runs than any other team in the league. They'll probably hit even more home runs this year because of the two U guys that I just mentioned, Ugla and Upton. They do strike out too much. They don't quite have enough speed. Although Hayward can run, Justin Upton can run, B.J. Upton can fly. If they get, you know, a few guys who can steal a few bases, that would help. That's the one thing they really don't have is a great base stealer at the top of the order. But Andrelton Simmons, he's one of the guys on the team who does not strike out very much. He's a good contact hitter, and he's got some power. He had 17 homers last year. So if they put him up to second in the lineup behind Hayward and in front of Freeman, I think it's really going to make a difference.
Do you think it's that these guys just need more patience at the plate?
He should be more patient at the plate, very definitely. I'd like to see them walk more. You know what's really interesting here, Dan? Look at Dan Ugla and compare him against Ichiro with the Yankees. Dan Ugla actually had a better on-base percentage last year than Ichiro did.
Sure.
So Ugla's awful year with that 179 average, his on-base percentage was 150 points higher than his batting average. He walks a lot.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure that there's going to be...
It's going to be a good year. And you know what? You know what else is good? With all these contracts that you referred to, it gives these guys peace of mind. They don't have to worry about, are they going to be here next year? Are they going to be with the Braves long term? Where can they go? They know where they're going to be. You know, with a 7 or 8 year contract, you know you're staying put.
Right, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, you have the talent. Why wouldn't you want to lock them up?
Yeah,
you know, Chelsea has some of these teams like, oh, you know what? We're fine. We don't need to up their contracts to send in the other thing. We'll let them. They want to touch free agency, please, by all means, go right ahead. The fact that they did it just before the season started, I think, is great because you take away all the distractions. Nobody's worried about, oh, my God, am I going to get the contract? Is that and the other thing? Am I going to hit free agency? Is this team going to take care of me? I love any team that takes care of their own before they do anything else. And honestly, I don't understand why they didn't do this in the first place. I mean, that's for me, that's the first thing you take care of once the offseason hits. You take care of your guys and like, okay, look, this is what we want to do for you. We want to get this locked up. This way you know what it is that you need to do during the offseason if you need to make any additions or anything like that.
Well, to address your comment here, there are a couple of factors why they didn't do it before. One was they didn't have the new ballpark. That was not a done deal until recently. They know they're moving into a new ballpark in 2017. They're going to get a lot of revenue from that they don't have now. They don't have a very good TV deal. The other factor, which is even more significant, John Hart has come along as a special assistant to Frank Wren, the GM. John Hart did the exact same thing with the Cleveland Indians. He signed up his young talent for a long term, and it worked out very well there, and they're doing the same thing with the Braves now.
Okay, well, I'm just good. I shouldn't be glad because I'm a Mets fan. But, I mean, it's nice to see that there's actually a general manager who will take care of his players because you don't see that too often. Sometimes you'll hear general manager come and be like, you know what? You want to touch free agency, please, by all means, go ahead. See if you could get the money that you think you're not going to get from us.
Well, to be fair to Sandy Alderson, I think he did a very good job in signing Curtis Granderson away from the Yankees. Granderson's a home run hitter, and that's what the Mets need. They need a solid veteran outfielder. I think he's going to do very well with the Mets. He enjoys playing in New York. He'll do fine. Bartolo Colon is a question mark to me, though. He was 18-6 with a pretty good ERA for Oakland last year, but he's going to be 41 this year. Giving a 2-year contract to a 41-year-old pitcher, you know, it's not quite the same as the Braves signing 25-year-old Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, I was a little iffy on the Bartolo Colon signing, but then I'm like, this is just a stopgap for Matt Harvey. Once Matt Harvey comes back, there's really no use for Bartolo Colon. So I didn't have a problem with it. The problem that I had was money. I think that was just way too much money for a player of his age and his weight, because in all honesty, he's going to have to be running the bases now. So I don't know how long he's going to be able to hold up for. I mean, right away, I think, okay, 1, 2, 3, he's out. That's an automatic out as far as I'm concerned. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. He's only played 17 games in the National League in his career, and that was with the Montreal Expos a long time ago. So you're right there. But the Mets do have some very good minor league pitching coming up. So in a year or so, they may be really good. I like Zach Wheeler. In fact, you know, if you look at last year's performance by Zach Wheeler, he was 5-7 against the league, except he was 3-0 against Atlanta. If it weren't for Zach Wheeler, the Braves would have faced the Cardinals in the first round of the playoffs instead of the Dodgers. I think the result would have been very different.
I agree. Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. Unfortunately,
it was fun. I enjoyed it.
I would love to have you on later on when the season starts. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio is having some issues right now, and it is going to cut us off.
So I do want
to thank you, and hopefully you'll be able to join me again soon.
That'll be great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Good night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we do have another caller, so I'm going to bring that caller on really quickly because we are pressed for time. For whatever reason, Blog Talk Radio is just not working out tonight. So I'm going to bring in this last caller for the last 3 minutes. Hello, caller. Welcome to the 5 Tool Show. You're on with Tanya.
Hey, Tanya. Fantastic show tonight.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
fifth starter. What do you think is how that's going to turn out in terms of the spring training competition and everything?
First of all, some people are saying Mejia. Personally, I don't think it'll be Mejia because, in all honesty, I don't think Mejia's going to hold up. Mejia's been a constant issue when it comes to being able to stay healthy. You can't count on a player who can't stay healthy. You know, so I think it's definitely going to come down to the wire during spring training. I don't think that they're even going to know until just before they break camp. So I can't honestly say, oh, this person. I mean, I would love it if Syndergaard would be the fifth starter. I mean, that would be fantastic. But realistically, it's not going to be Syndergaard. So Syndergaard, he'll probably come up when the rosters are expanded. But there's really not one person that I can say, oh, this person is going to be the number five starter. I don't think it's going to be Dice K. That I can say. I think he'll just be holding it down in AAA until, you know, somebody, God forbid, gets hurt in the rotation, and he'll just be a stopgap.
All right.
Anything else on your mind?
All right. Other than that, I'm just hoping that Bobby Parnell is healthy, because I think that if he's the closer, then that's going to be a big boost for them. If it's not him, then we got to just cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, you have to do a lot of crossing of fingers and toes if you're rooting for the Mets, don't you?
Yeah, we're used to it. That's the life of a Mets fan.
I will say this to all Mets fans. I hope all you guys have some defibrillators in your homes. If not, I suggest you invest in some because, yeah, this team may do better than what a lot of people are predicting. But at the same time, they're going to stop your hearts. So if I were you, some of you may want to consider, you know, learning CPR. I'm sure the American Red Cross is holding some classes to get those classes in, because if you're at a ballpark or if you're with your friends, you might have to start performing some CPR because there's only so many ambulances that New York City has. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me tonight. Hope you all have a good night. Enjoy all the reports coming out of spring training. Next week, hopefully, Blog Talk Radio won't be so cranky, and everything will be A-OK. Have a good night, everybody.